Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and welcome to all from the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for the hour. Well, this time we're going to dip into our bag of unusual programs and pull out a few goodies. We have Bird's Eye Open House featuring Groucho Marx, but we're going to start off first with an episode of The Big Town. This is called Every 16 Hours.
And now, it's time for Big Town. The makers of Rinso present Edward G. Robinson in Big Town. Mr. Robinson is heard as Steve Wilson, managing editor of the Illustrated Press. Ona Munson plays the part of Lorelei Kilbourne, Steve's charming assistant. On this particular morning, they met for breakfast at their favorite cafe, lingered long over an extra cup of coffee, and arrived late at the office of the Illustrated Press.
Well, think of the example I'm setting my hard-working force getting in at this hour.
Well, face them and get it over with. Go on, open the door and barge right through the city room just as if you were early instead of late.
What goes on here?
Oh, you heard. Your staff is standing in a circle doing tongue twisters.
Hey, what gives out here anyway? What is this, a newspaper office or a nut house?
Uncle Steve! Hello, Uncle Steve!
Well, Susie, Peter, what are you two doing here?
We came to see you. You kissed him twice. My turn.
Okay. Lorelei, these are Don Parker's kids, Susie and Peter.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Susie.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 6. How old are you?
Well, I had it coming.
She's 21. All ladies are just 21, except grandmothers. They're just over 21. What do you kids mean by upsetting my staff so early in the morning?
It's not early. It's late. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Uncle Steve. Mommy's waiting in your office.
Well, gosh, I'll go right in. Hey, boys, muse these two Indians, will you? Come on, Lorelei. I want you to meet Sally Parker. She's a great girl.
She's got a great pair of kids.
Hello, Sally. Well, I'm sorry you had to wait.
I'm so glad you got here. I tried to get your house, but your line was busy.
Oh, yes, I had a couple of long-distance calls. This is Lorelei.
Oh, how do you do?
Hello, Sally.
I've heard a great deal about you.
Well, not as much as I've heard about you and your wonderful husband, the one and only Dr. Donald Parker.
Oh, that old stick in the mud. Do you think they could get him to take a drink at the reunion last night? Oh, no, not him. One of his lady patients had a bad kidney, so he couldn't drink.
Oh, Steve, I just had to see you. I couldn't stand it any longer. Don didn't come home last night.
What?
When I woke up this morning, he wasn't there. I phoned all the places I could think of. I thought you might have some idea because you took him to the reunion.
Well, yes, and I was going to drive him home, too. But he was worried about a patient, some lady who had a relapse.
Oh, yes, that's old Mrs. Grayson.
That's right, Mrs. Grayson. Well, I dropped him near her house. He said he'd take a cab home from there. Oh, well, maybe she was worse and he stayed all night.
No, I called her house. He never got there.
But that's impossible. I tell you, I left him right on the corner.
Steve, something's happened to Don.
Oh, but I don't see
how... No, I wouldn't worry. There's so many things that could detain a doctor.
Yes, but he'd phone, wouldn't he? Oh, Steve, you know how considerate Don is.
Yes, and I know how absent-minded he is, too. He probably thinks he did phone. I'll bet right now he's got some poor devil on the table extracting his appendix and $500.
Oh, I hate to act like this, but, Steve, we've got to do something. I can't just sit here and talk about it.
Well, all right, Sally, if it'll make you feel any easier. Foster, get me Captain Carroll at police headquarters.
Yes, Mr. Wilson, right away.
Carroll's a friend of mine. He'd tell us the sensible way to go about this.
I know just how you feel, Sally, but you'll find he's all right.
Oh, I admit I'm a fool about him. You see, we waited so long to get married. All those years he was interning. Oh, Steve, if anything were to happen to Donna, I don't know what I'd do.
Hello, Captain Carroll? Oh, well, this is Steve Wilson speaking. Oh, fine, thanks. Captain, a friend of mine, Dr. Donald Parker, forgot to check in at his house last night, and his wife here is worried. He's about 5'11", dark, around my age. Is that close enough, or do you want my guilty secret? Well, let me see. He had on a dark blue suit. Is that right, Sally?
Yes, and a white shirt.
White shirt, yes.
Blue knit tie.
That's right, blue knit tie.
Brown shoes. Nothing in his pocket but
nothing
a pipe.
Nothing in his pocket but a pipe. All right, thanks, Captain. I'll hold on. He's ordering a checkup right now. You say you'd be surprised if you knew the number of persons who turn up missing every day. Why, here in Big Town... Yes, Captain? Oh, no. Don's no trouble of any kind. He's a sane, normal person. Crazy about his wife and his two wonderful kids. Well, he's very successful. A favorite with all his patients. They even pay the bills he sends them. You know, he was laughing about that very thing when I dropped him off last night on Maple Street near the park. Yes, on Maple. What? No.
Steve, what is it?
All right, Captain, I'll wait.
Oh, what did he say?
Oh, he's checking with another department.
Well, if anything had happened to the doctor, Sally, you'd be the first to know. Somebody'd notify you.
Oh, no, no. He had no identification with him. You remember, Steve, when you honked your horn outside the house last night?
Yes.
Well, Don dashed out without his wallet or his driver's license or anything. I found them afterwards on the bureau.
Yes, Captain, I'm here. Yes? Well, is that all they could tell you? I see. Yes, Captain, I got it. Thanks.
What is it? Something's happened to Don. I can tell it by your face. Steve!
Oh, no, no, Sally. I was disappointed because the captain couldn't give me anything definite. But he'll keep on looking.
Well, Steve, you're sure Don's all right, aren't you?
Of course. Now, you go on home with the kids. That's
oh, all right.
Girl.
But, Steve, if you should hear anything, you'll let me know, won't you?
You can depend on that. If there's any news, I'll bring it over myself.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Thanks. Goodbye, Lorelei.
Goodbye, Sally.
Oh, Susie. Come on.
What did Captain Carroll really tell you? Where are you going?
To the morgue.
Oh, that poor girl.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Last night, I left him laughing. And now there's something lying there on it.
Wait, I'll go with you.
No, no, if it's Don, I'd rather take it alone.
Well, isn't there anything I can
yes,
do?
Yes, you go over and stay with Sally. I'm afraid she's going to need someone.
Oh, Steve, I'm so glad you got here.
Where's Sally?
Upstairs.
And the kids?
They're in the nursery. Steve, was it Don?
Yeah.
Oh, those poor babies. Who did it?
I don't know. A hit-and-run driver. Left him there to die. By the time he was found, he was too late. Let's find Sally.
Oh, what are you going to tell her?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who's there? Don? Oh, thank heaven.
No, it's Steve.
Oh, come in, Steve. You've got some news?
Sally.
Oh, where is he? Where's Don? Is he all right?
Sit down, Sally.
What is it? Oh, no. Nothing's happened to Don.
Now, Sally, darling, you've got to be strong.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm strong. What happened, Steve? Tell me.
Well, Don was run over by a car while he was crossing the street.
Oh, but he's still alive, isn't he? He's still alive. He's not... Just tell me he's not dead. Oh, Steve. Oh, no.
No, no, don't, Sally, please.
Oh, where is he? I want to see him.
Well, not now, Sally. Later.
He's not dead. Not Don. Not my Don. I want to see him, I tell you. I want to see him.
Well, you can't, dear. It's better to remember him the way he was.
Oh, no. No, this couldn't happen to us. It couldn't. We've always tried to be good people. You know Don. He was so good to everybody. He never hurt a living thing. Well, Steve, you know that.
Yes, I know.
No, I don't believe it. It's not true. Oh, tell me it isn't true.
No, Sally, don't let go. You've got to hang on.
Hang on to what? What have I got to hang on to with Don gone? What have I got to live for?
Mommy, Susie can say it. Listen. Peter Piper Pinker, Pickle Pickle Pepper. Peter Piper Pinker. Mommy. What's the matter? Go find Daddy, Uncle Steve. He won't let Mommy cry.
I tell you, Captain, it was the toughest thing I ever had to do. Last night he was alive, laughing, and now all the life is smashed out of him. His wife and babies there needn't look at him.
It sure is tough. Happening all over the country, every day. Every 8 hours, somebody's life is blotted out by a hit-and-run driver. Every 27 minutes, some pedestrian is struck by a hit-and-run car. Every 16 minutes, someone dies because of reckless driving.
Yes, but if that driver had only stopped and taken down to the hospital right away, he might have had a chance.
Yes, but at the hospital, they'd have taken the man's name and his license number. Hit-and-run drivers don't take that chance.
I can understand that accidents happen, but to leave your victim lying there, knowing that he might die. But it takes a special kind of coward to run away at a time like that. That's the lowest form of bestial stupidity a man could be guilty of.
I know how you feel, Steve.
Well, what are you doing about it, Captain?
Well, so far, we've collected some fragments of a headlight. We found an almost obliterated tire track at the corner where Parker was killed. There's a trace of paint on the coat he wore. From these, the laboratory will be able to tell us the make of the car.
And then what have you got?
Well, of course, all routine inquiries are being made.
Well, that's not good enough. For you, this is just another hit-and-run case, another number in the files. But to me, it's not a number. It's a life. Those babies can't ever have another father. That girl waited for years for Dan Parker. They built a fine life together.
And you talk about routine inquiries.
We're doing our best, Steve. In a case like this, there's very little evidence to work with. Death roars out of the night, strikes and disappears. There's seldom any witnesses.
But surely somebody in the community somewhere heard or saw something.
Maybe they did, but if they don't come forward and tell us...
Well, then I'm going to make them come forward. This is one time when death roaring out of nowhere into nowhere is going to be dragged into the spotlight.
And now for the second half of Big Town. Returning you to Big Town, we find that the Illustrated Press has been running a red-hot campaign to smoke out the hit-and-run driver who killed Don Parker. Using the tremendous power of his newspaper and radio station, Steve has stirred public opinion until all Big Town is hunting for the killer.
Extra, extra, read all about the car that killed Dr. Parker, all about the murder car.
Oh, paper boy, what kind of a car was it?
A Blue Hermes, lady.
Say, it's a swell car. I hope they get him.
Extra, extra, first crew in Big Town murder, 1940 Blue Hermes, Hugh Parker. Watch out for Blue Hermes killer car.
Good afternoon, Illustrated Press.
Hello, I have some information about the Parker murder. Could I speak to Mr. Wilson?
One moment, please. I'll connect you.
Steve Wilson speaking.
This is Frank J. Mitchell. I live on Maple Street, Big Town Apartments, right near the corner where Dr. Parker was killed. I believe my wife heard that accident Sunday night.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mitchell. May I interview your wife?
Why, sure, anytime.
Yes, I heard brakes screeching and a crash about 2 o'clock Sunday night.
Well, did you look out the window?
No. I don't like to get mixed up in such things.
Well, a man was lying there, dying. You might have saved his life.
We've got a police force, haven't we?
Yes, but if we don't help them to stop this reckless driving, you and I might be the next victim.
Well, anyway, we've got the time of the accident. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Come on, Lorelei.
Oh, just a minute, Mr. Wilson.
Yes?
I found a bottle on my lawn.
A bottle?
Yes, the morning after the accident.
What kind of a bottle?
Well, the label said Bumblebee Brandy. They sell it at the Bumblebee Inn, a roadhouse about half a mile from here.
Where is the bottle?
I threw it away. I don't want to get mixed up in this case. I believe in minding my own business.
Well, don't you recall anybody who left here around 2 o'clock Sunday night with a bottle of your brandy? Somebody who drove off in a Blue Hermes car? They may have been drunk.
Listen, mister, people come to the Bumblebee for a good time. A lot of them are tight when they leave. I don't keep track of them.
In spite of the fact that they might go out and kill someone?
Well, if people are stupid enough to drink when they're driving, that's not my funeral.
And thank you. You're a lot of help. Come on, Lorelei.
Well, that's that.
Yes, I believe in minding my own business. It's not my funeral. That's all it means to them. Get in, Lorelei.
Oh, we're all to blame, Steve. We don't face the truth.
Yes, I know. I'm as guilty as the rest. Took something like this to open my eyes. I'll never have a peaceful night's sleep if this killer goes free.
How can he live with himself knowing he's killed another man? Oh, but then I suppose it's old-fashioned to expect him to have a conscience.
Well, I'm going to be his conscience. I'll give him no rest. My voice is going to hunt him out and tell him the truth about himself.
This is the Illustrated Press radio station bringing you the voice of Mr. Steve Wilson. In the first of a series of public meetings on the hit-and-run murder of Dr. Parker. Mr. Wilson.
Citizens of Big Town, the killer is loose among us, and we've got to find him. He may never kill again, but if we let him get away with this one murder, we're inviting other cowards to hit-and-run and save their own skins. We've got to drive home the fact that no matter how far we run or where we hide, we have to pay for taking a human life. This murderer thinks he's safe. But our city has a million eyes and ears, and some of them have seen and heard things that are sure to trap him. Don't think that your bit of information is too small, too unimportant. Every tiny link will add to the chain of evidence which will finally betray him. So if you have any information that will help, please call the Illustrated Press. Do it now.
Good evening, Illustrated Press.
Tell Mr. Wilson the Associated Women's Clubs are deeply interested in solving this murder and we're going to help him.
Thank you. Good evening, Illustrated Press.
Tell Wilson to do something about the crazy drivers that try to beat the red lights. They're all potential killers.
Thank you. Illustrated Press, good evening.
We've just got to look for clues.
Thank you.
Affiliated church group. Tell Mr. Wilson we're behind it.
Thank you.
We got the number of a Blue Hermes car.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back to report the progress we've made in solving Big Town's most vicious, most important murder. Listen in, Big Town, tomorrow night at this time. And you too, Mr. Murderer. Listen in. Listen in.
Good evening, Illustrated Press.
I want to speak to Steve Wilson.
Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Steve Wilson speaking.
Listen, Wilson, you're a liar. We're not murderers. It was an accident.
Hold on a minute, will you? I can't hear you. Hear you very well. Wait till I get a better connection. Or till I get the police and have them trace this call. Hello, go ahead.
It's true. We hit that man with our car, but it was an accident. We stopped, got out. We thought he was dead. We didn't know what to do. Why don't you leave us alone? Why do you keep harping on it? We've been punished enough.
Who are you? Hello, hello. Why don't you answer? He hung up. Did you get the police?
Foster's got Captain Carroll on the wire now. He says he'll try to track down whoever made the call.
No, that's not going to be easy, but the killer has got a conscience, Lorelei, and we won't let him forget it. People of Vicktown, I have some new evidence for you. In our radio station audience here tonight is a taxi driver who has volunteered to tell what he knows. He's standing at the microphone now. Go ahead, Mr. Welsh.
Do I talk now?
Yes, right in here. A little closer, please.
Right here.
That's it.
Well, I was cruising past the Bumblebee Inn Sunday night, going on 2 o'clock, when a girl called me. She was having an argument with two young fellas who wanted to get into a car.
Well, can you describe that car?
It was a blue Hermes, brand new roadster. The girl had on a brown fur coat, and her name was Marcia.
Well, how do you know that was her name?
Well, I heard one of the fellas call after it. Don't be a fool, Marcia. She left my cab near the Big Town Hotel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Welsh. You've given us a real clue.
That's right.
Are you tuned in on this broadcast, Mr. Murderer? We know now that there were two of you, that you're young, and that you have a friend named Marcia. Don't you realize that someday soon your doorbell will ring and a policeman will ask to see that brand new roadster of yours? Are you listening, Mr. Murderer? You listened last night and you phoned me. You said I lied, that you weren't a murderer. Well, if you're a human being, if you're a man, why don't you come forward like a man and get this thing off your mind?
I will. I'm here. Let me alone, Marcia. I can't stand it anymore. I'm going to tell the whole thing.
That's the girl, Mr. Wilson. I recognize her now.
I'm Herbert Collins. I phoned you. I'll tell you what happened.
Now, please, ladies and gentlemen, let the man talk. Here, tell it to this radio audience and through this microphone to Big Town.
Never mind the microphone. I'm not a murderer. And neither was Jim. There was never a finer boy than my kid brother, Jim. He just graduated from law school with honors. He passed his bar exams. He was coming up before the character committee on Monday. That's why we went to the Bumblebee to celebrate, Jim and my fiancé, Marcia, and me. We had some drinks, sure. It was nearly 2 o'clock when they were ready to close the bar, so we bought a bottle of brandy and went out to the car.
Oh, don't be such a big brother, Herb.
Come on, Jim. You've got to go before the character committee tomorrow.
Well, I'll get you home before the clock strikes.
You're not going to drive, Jim.
Why not?
You've had too much to drink.
It's my car, isn't it? My party.
Oh, he's all right, Marcia. I've seen him drive when he was a lot tighter than this.
If you want to humor him, it's all right with me. You've done it all your life. But I'm not taking any chances. Taxi!
Okay, miss.
Oh, come on, Marcia. Don't spoil the party.
There's no party for me to get myself smashed up. I'm taking the taxi home. Good night.
Oh, Marcia, don't be a fool.
Oh, let her go.
She'll get over it. Come on, Herb.
No, but wait a minute.
Hop in, will you? Hop in.
I'll get you home, okay?
You know I like Marcia.
And I hope you're going to be very happy with it. Very happy. Because you deserve it, Herb.
You know, you're the greatest little brother a fella ever had.
You know what I think of it, don't you?
Thanks, kid. Look, you're on the wrong side of the street. Take it easy now.
Nothing out this late. Hey, I still got that bottle. Have a little drink?
No, thanks.
All right, I can use it. Here goes. Here's to you and Marcia.
Jim, look out. That man!
Herb. I didn't see him. I didn't see him. Herb, what are we going to do?
Easy, kid.
He's dead. Here, feel his heart. Herb, he's dead.
Come on, give me a hand. We'd better get him to a hospital.
Yeah, sure. Wait a minute, Herb. The character committee tomorrow. They'll say I was drunk. I'll never get admitted.
But we can't leave him here.
He's dead, isn't he? Just put him on the grass. Somebody will come along and see him. We can't do him any good now.
That's a crime, Jim. If they ever find out...
But they won't. How can they? Look, the houses are all dark and there isn't a shade up. Nobody saw a thing.
I know, but we can't do that.
Oh, Herb, don't spoil my whole life.
Monday night, I was in my room waiting for Jim to come home.
Is that you, Jim?
Come on in. I'm not asleep. I waited up for you till midnight.
How'd you make out?
I've been admitted. Sterling character. An honor to the bar.
Where have you been?
Walking the streets. The dark streets. Herb, did you see the Illustrated Press?
Yes.
He wasn't dead. If we'd taken him to the hospital, he'd be alive.
We didn't know.
I murdered him. I'm a murderer, huh?
Oh, it's my fault more than yours, kid. I'm older. But it's done now, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Go on, kid. Go get some rest.
Rest? I'll never have an hour's rest as long as I live.
Jim. Jim, come back here. I want to talk to you. Jim, do you hear me? Where the devil's my dressing gown?
I guess I better let him work it out himself. You see, Mr. Wilson, I thought he'd just gone out there to be alone. I lay there in the dark for nearly an hour, waiting for him to come back. I opened the window and looked out. Then I heard the motor of the car running behind the closed doors of the garage.
Jim! Jim! Good Lord, that crazy kid. Jim! Jim, why have you locked this garage door? Open the door, Jim. Open this garage, do you hear me? What are you trying to do? Help somebody! Help me break down this door! Jim! Jim! Oh, no, no, Jimmy! Somebody help me! Help! Oh, Jim! Jim!
By the time I got the lock smashed on that door, there was nothing I could do for it. I guess he didn't want to go on, but... So, you see, he paid. He took his punishment. I'm willing to take mine. Only whatever they do to me won't be as bad as what I've done to myself. As long as I live, I'll never get that man's blood off my hands. I'll never be able to forget that wife, those little kids. The girl I love, she can't even look at me. See it in her eyes. Murderer. Murderer.
Herb Dahl.
It's true, isn't it?
Oh, I guess so. But it was my fault, too. I could have stopped him. I let him go out and kill because I said, I'm not my brother's keeper.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've solved this tragic case. But the problem, your problem, still remains. People of Big Town, people of America, what are you going to do about it? Continue to shut your eyes and pretend that only what happens within your own walls is your business? Or realize that the street is your street, every city, and this country, your business, your responsibility?
In 1940, it is estimated that reckless driving will take the lives of 34,880 people. 1,160,000 will be injured. $1,500,000,000 will be lost in property damage.
Common courtesy, common sense, and a little consideration for the rights of others could cut those frightful figures in half. People of America, what are you going to do about it?
And with that impassioned plea from Edward G. Robinson on Good Driving, we end Big Town and go on now to Bird's Eye Open House. This is starring Groucho Marx and Groucho the Patient. It's from 1945.
I can't stay in bed, Doctor. I'm telling you, I must get over to the Bird's Eye Open House.
Quiet. Stick out your tongue.
Stick out your own tongue.
Yes. Why should I stick out my tongue?
Don't ask me. You're supposed to be the doctor.
Well, I'm only...
What's more, I'm starting to have my doubts about that.
How dare you? Why, 30 years ago, I was a horse and buggy doctor.
A buggy doctor? Well, take some flea powder and you'll get rid of them. That'll be $5. You better come in and see me again next week. Now, next week, leave the fleas at home.
And Mr. Marks...
And you stay with the fleas.
Mr. Marks, in case you don't know it, I was with the Mayo brothers for 12 years.
So what? I was with the Marks brothers for 30 years.
I repeat, for the past 12 years, I was with the Mayo brothers knitting bones.
Knitting bones, eh? You must have made them some pretty heavy sweaters.
No, stop this nonsense. I am going to look down your throat. Open your mouth.
Who's playing down there, the Dolly sister?
How would you like to have me take your tonsils out?
Fine. Take them to the Palladium. They've never been there.
I'm sorry, Mr. Marks. I have other patients. I have other patients to call on.
Well, can I do my broadcast on the Bird's Eye Open House tonight?
Definitely not. Should you have to get out of bed, I want you to wear long woolen underwear, a sweatshirt, a flannel shirt, a heavy suit, a sweater, a muffler, and an overcoat.
Yeah.
And above all, there's one thing I don't want you to do.
What's that?
Don't get overheated. Goodbye.
Good joke on him. He doesn't know I'm dead.
Well, Marilyn, looks like it's going to be you and me alone on the show.
Oh, poor Groucho.
Yeah.
I was so anxious to work with him because he's so cute.
Too bad, yeah. I can't believe it. Harry Von Zell and Marilyn Maxwell.
Say, Harry, I've got a great idea.
Yeah?
Let's go over to Groucho's house and maybe we can get him on his feet in time for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good idea.
Well, Harry, let's go.
Yeah. Well, I'll be right with you, Marilyn. I just remembered I want to make a phone call, though.
Excuse okay, me. I'll wait for you outside.
Yeah, good. I'll show that guy. Fix him on his own. Hello. Hello, Joe? Joe, this is Harry. Look, Marilyn Maxwell is on the show tonight. Yeah, she certainly is. Yeah. And I want to keep Groucho away from her. You see, he's got a cold, so look, if you'd pose as a doctor and convince him that he must stay in bed... Yeah, get it? Great. All right, I'll see you over there.
Come in! Marilyn, Harry, it's so sweet of you to drop in this way. Come on in.
Say, Marilyn, he looks much worse than I figured.
Oh, yes. Harry, this is more serious than I thought. I've never seen anyone that pale.
I hope we're not too late.
Would you folks like to sit down, or should we go right to the cemetery? It's only about 40 stones from here.
Groucho, what's wrong with you? Has the doctor been over?
Yes, and he says that
Now, don't you worry about a thing, old man. Why, by the time we're through with you, you'll look as good as I do.
Well, that certainly doesn't give me much to look forward to.
Well, if we're going to get you out of bed in time for the show tonight, we'd better get busy. Groucho, you must drink plenty of liquid. What kind of fruit have you got?
Apples and pears.
Well, isn't there anything in the house you can squeeze?
Yes, but Thursday is the maid's day off. Besides, I haven't got a mix master. That joke was left over from an old script we used a couple of months ago.
Well,
if anybody would like it, it'll be at sale later on. Along with me. Huh?
Groucho, where are we start?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, we could hold hands and see how that goes.
Oh, no, you none of that stuff, Groucho. Marilyn's not over here to neck with you.
Look, Fatso. Why don't you take your water pistol and go fill up Boulder Dam?
Now, you cut that. You look here, Groucho. Oh, I can't.
Now, wait a minute. Stop arguing, fellas.
Now, wait a minute.
Groucho, what you need is a mustard plaster.
Who wants to get plastered on mustard? You haven't got an old quart of bourbon, have you?
No, we haven't.
But even a new quart will do.
Well, what?
Skip it, huh?
Okay.
I'll get it myself.
This business of your having a cold is ridiculous anyway. It's all in your mind. When you get up in the morning, just say, I haven't got a cold. I haven't got a cold.
I tried that this morning.
Well, how did it work?
I don't know. I sneezed so loud I couldn't hear what I was saying. I wonder who that can be. Not the postman. He always rings twice.
So would I.
So would I, Atlanta Turner. No, wait a minute. We never could read your own
line. Well, all right. It was a... It wasn't much of a line, anyway.
No, it's hardly worth fighting over. So would I if Lana Turner was there. You can have it. I mean, you can have the line.
Listen, I think I know who that is at the door, Grouch. Look, I hope you won't be offended, but I heard you were very ill, so I took the liberty of having my own personal physician come over. Do you mind? I'll let him right in. Oh, doctor, I'm so glad you got here.
Well, Mr. Von Zell, hope I'm in time. Is the body, the patient here?
Yes, come right in. Dr. Dindeldorfer, I'd like you to meet Miss Marilyn Maxwell.
Miss the Marilyn Maxwell?
How do you do?
I've long been an admirer of yours, Miss Maxwell.
But, Doc, I'm the patient.
Stay under the blankets, bud.
Ha, ha, ha.
Miss Maxwell.
Oh, you can call me Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn.
But, Doc, look, I'm the patient.
Under the blankets, Bud. Marilyn, I think you're beautiful.
Oh, you're pretty cute yourself.
But, Doc, I'm the patient.
Under the blanket, Bud. See, and that dress, that's quite a dress you're wearing.
Do you think it fits me well?
Does it fit you well?
Hey, I'm getting warm under these blankets.
So am I, and I haven't even got a blanket.
Mr. Marks, you're a very sick man. But fortunately, I am one of the few physicians who can cure a cold.
Good night, Doc.
Thanks. See, my theory is that one must fight a cold with cold. Miss Maxwell, would you mind stepping into the next room?
Well, not at all.
Now, Mr. Marks, if you'll just step out of bed. That's good. Now take your pajama top off. Fine. Now stand right in front of this window.
The window. Shall I open it now, Doctor?
Yes, Mr. Bonner.
Hey. Achoo! Hey, what are you trying to do? Hey, shut that window.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Marks. You already have a cold. You can't get too cold.
No, but I can get double pneumonia.
Now, Groucho, don't argue with the doctor.
You see, Mr. Marks, as I told you, my method is to fight cold with cold. Now I'll just stand in this basin of ice water.
It's cold.
Well, Von Zell, I haven't seen you in a month of Sundays. How's drink?
Oh, fine, fine. Can't kick. How are things with you?
Oh, can't kick.
Neither can I. My feet are frozen.
Oh, Groucho, stop being a sissy. An Eskimo would laugh at a thing like that.
Yeah, well, let's get a few in the audience, huh?
Some Eskimos are particular, you know. Oh, dear. Tell me, Doc, have you seen any of the boys around lately?
The boys?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. I bumped into Jim Mason only yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
Good old Jim Mason.
Oh, wonderful fellow, Jim Mason.
Prince among men, Jim Mason.
Hey, if you fellas want to drink a toast to Jim, I got plenty of ice water here.
Quiet, Groucho. By the way, Doc, I understand Jim married old Charlie Hildebrand's daughter, Mabel.
Oh, no, no, no.
No?
Little Mabel Hildebrand married old Charlie Wiedemeyer.
Well, that must be the Charlie Wiedemeyer whose father owned the cigar store on 4th and Palm.
No, no, no. Charlie Wiedemeyer's father owned a hardware store on 3rd and O.
Oh.
By the way, whatever happened to old Jim Mason?
Well, he married it.
Doesn't seem like a cold to me, eh?
Mr. Marks, I told you not to get dressed. Now, what's the idea of putting on that blue sweater?
That's no sweater. That's me.
Come in. How do you do? I'm Dr. Billingsley. Where's the patient?
Oh, here he is, right over here.
We've got more doctors and see there's 11 of them.
Hey, wait a minute. Would you mind opening your mouth again, son?
Who, me?
You, yes, sir. Oh, boy. I wouldn't want to be in the shape you're in.
Who would?
Hey, how long have you been walking around like this?
About 35 years. Why?
Why, son, you're critically ill.
I am?
Yes, you are. And my advice to you is to stand in a basin of ice water.
Ice water? Critically ill? Well, what about the show tonight? Who's going to do the show? I'm sick. Groucho, would you go on for me tonight?
But, Harry, what about my cold?
Oh, Groucho, you haven't got a cold. The doctor I sent for is a fake.
Von Zell, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well...
How could you do this to me?
I've...
Your oldest and closest friend. Your oldest, anyway. And your closest, too, I think. Well, you're nothing but a quick-frozen Benedict Donald.
Please.
All right, I'll do the show for you, but I can never forgive you. I'm telling you, Marilyn, that Von Zell is nothing but a contemptible cur.
Oh, but Groucho, are you still so angry at Harry?
Of course I am. Imagine him bringing in a fake doctor so we couldn't be together on the show tonight.
Yes, that is a cheap trick. But tell me, Groucho, who was that doctor who put Harry to bed?
Oh, him. Oh, he's the fake doctor I sent for.
So this is Dr. Hackenbush, the famous medico.
You're welcome, Dr. Hackenbush.
If that's the case, I'll go.
Oh, no, you mustn't go.
Who said I mustn't go? The only reason that I came is so that I can go. I'm Dr. Hackenbush. My medical standing's very high. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dr. Hackenbush.
Meet Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm Dr. Hackenbush. As a matter of fact, to be exact, I'm Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm sure we all would like to hear some facts about your great career.
Although my horn I hate to blow, there's one thing that you ought to know. I'm Dr. Hackenbush, which all my friends will verify. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dr. Hackenbush.
He's Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm Dr. Hackenbush. You never would guess, but nevertheless, I'm Dr. Hackenbush. For ailments abdominal, my charge is phenomenal. So I'm great for, I've a rate for tonsillectomy. Sick and healthy, poor and wealthy, come direct to me. Bless you, they yell, when I send them home well. But they never, no, they never send a check to me. I want a claim for curing ills, both in the north and south. You'll find my name is like my pills in everybody's mouth. I've never lost a case.
He's never lost a case.
I've lost a lot of patients, but I've never lost a case. My diagnosis never fails. I know just what to do. Whenever anybody ails, I'm sympathetic too. My heart within me melts.
His heart within him melts.
No matter what I treat him for, they die from something else. When your nerves start to rock, put your faith in your doc. When you're sick, he will stick to the end. With a possible exception of your mother, a doctor's a man's best friend.
Yes, a doctor's a man's best friend.
Oh, a doctor's a man's best friend. Oh, a doctor's a man's best friend.
A doctor is
a doctor is a man. Right or wrong, wrong or right, night and day, day and night, on his call you can always depend. With the possible exception of your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and your nephews and your nieces and your uncles and your cousins, whom you number by the dozens. A doctor's a man, friend.
Pardon me, is this the Bird's Eye Open House that advertises frozen food? And I presume you're Miss Dinah?
Sure.
Then this is the program on which Mr. Groucho Marx is supposed to.
Supposed to what?
Would you mind stepping aside so that I can spray the microphone?
No,
oh, wait a minute.
Hey, now, wait.
Don't spray the microphone.
Stop this, my obese friend. Who are you?
My name is Amoeba J. Beck.
Tyria?
I am Mr. Marx's personal disinfector, and I'm supposed to sterilize everything. You may not remember, but when Mr. Marx was here last time, he caught a very nasty...
cold?
No, I'm just comfy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to spray the rest of this.
No, wait. Now, just a minute, Mr. Bacteria. I've got something to say about this.
Hello?
Hello, Dinah. This is Groucho. Did my personal disinfector get there yet?
Yes, Groucho, and I wish you'd come over and stop him. He's disinfecting everything in the studio.
Where is he now?
He's going around Harry Von Zell with a spray gun.
Well, that's quite a trip. You better get a road map. And tell him not to take Route 7. The bridge is out.
You better tell him that yourself.
I can. My bridge is out, too.
Mr. Bacteria, Mr. Marx wants to talk to you.
Thank you.
Did you use this telephone to talk to Mr.
Mark?
Excuse me.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Bacteria?
You were expecting maybe Mrs.?
Did you take care of everything?
And I figure it'll cost you exactly.
Well, that's reasonable enough. I'll send you a check.
Just send it to.
It'll be a pleasure. I didn't know you moved.
I didn't move. They just changed the address.
Well, I don't want to get into an argument. I'll just drop in the mailbox.
Which mailbox?
I don't care. Have you any favorites?
Oh, yes. Margaret O'Brien.
Ask her she's got a friend. I'll call you back in 12 years. Tell me sure. I'll be right over.
Just a playful little sprayful. That means I love...
Oh, isn't that...
Oh, no, please.
Dinah, listen, we've got to do something to get rid of that little bug killer.
I know it, Harry, but I'm not worrying about that so much. What we have to do is cure Groucho's complex. I wonder if I could use psychiatry on him.
Dinah, what do you know about psychiatry?
Well, I've seen all the latest movies, haven't I?
Well, now, just what would you do?
We'll just have to delve into his past and find out if anything ever happened in his childhood that might be troubling him now.
Oh, fat. How can you cure him now by finding out what happened to him when he was a kid?
Look, Harry, if Ingrid Bergman can cure Gregory Peck's brilliant mind, then I can certainly cure Groucho Marx's...
mind?
Oh, not at all. I'd love to.
What was that? Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Groucho now. He's right behind Mr. Bacteria.
Company, halt! So far, so good, Bacteria. Now, are we ready to go on with the show? Very well. Hot water?
Hot.
Disinfecting soap?
Disinfecting.
Sanitary mask?
Sanitary.
Okay, Dinah, you may kiss me now.
Groucho, what on earth are you brushing off your suit that way?
James, millions of them. James with green heads, with blue heads, with red heads. Red heads? By the way, whatever happened to that little waitress at the Brown Davy?
Oh, you're just imagining all this, Groucho, but if you'll cooperate with me, I'm sure I can cure you.
Oh, now see how lucky you are. You now have a lady doctor.
Give that lady $10. Now, madam, what is my problem?
Your problem is that you're always brushing imaginary germs off your suit. Now, look, Groucho, just relax your mind and think of nothing.
How can I do that?
Well, try it this way. Think of a round circle.
But there's nothing inside of it.
That's it. Then your mind's a blank?
A complete blank?
It's a big improvement, too.
Fontel, if my mind weren't a blank, I'd tell you where to get off. If I was running a bus.
Oh, boys, please, come on now. Don't interrupt the experiment. Groucho, are you thinking of a circle?
Yes.
Now think of an X.
I've got it.
Now a circle.
Go ahead.
Now an X.
Right.
Now a circle.
Hold it.
What happened?
I just beat myself a tic-tac-toe.
I mean it all, Groucho. Now, please stop brushing those imaginary germs off your suit.
I can't help it. I can't help it. Mr. Bacteria.
Thank you very much.
Gosh almighty. He's really got it bad, hasn't he, Dinah?
Oh, I should say. Maybe I ought to try to analyze his dreams, Harry.
Dreams. That's right. Every dream has a hidden meaning, doesn't
it? Yeah. Groucho, what did you dream about last night?
Last night? I dreamed I was at the racetrack at Santa Anita.
Well, who did you bet on?
A horse, of course.
Well, who was the horse?
I was. What'd you think was the horse? One of the horses?
Oh. Please forgive me, Groucho. It was a natural mistake. Imagine me thinking a horse is a horse. Silly. I suppose you were the jockey, too.
Of course I was. You don't think I let a stranger on my back?
You take him, Dinah.
Okay, Groucho, how could you be both horse and jockey?
It was a small dream. Everybody had to play two parts.
Look, have you had any other dreams where you weren't a horse?
Well, I dreamt I was a cow for 3 weeks. But it was too nerve-wracking. I couldn't get my pajamas over my horns.
Look, Groucho, you don't mind if we get this out of the barn, do you, Groucho? Have you had any beautiful dreams lately?
Yes, once I dreamt I dwelt in marble halls.
Oh, I wonder what that means.
I fall asleep in the bathtub.
Well, you take him, Dinah.
Okay.
Well, wait till I get out of the tub.
Groucho, you know you should never fall asleep while you're taking a bath.
I wasn't taking a bath. I was just lying there thinking about it.
Groucho, look, concentrate. Let's...
My wedding, and they were giving me a shower.
Let's go into this just a little more deeply, can we?
Oh, we like turning out the water.
Do you have any dreams that occur frequently?
Yes, every night in my dreams, I come to a door with a big sign on it. And I push it and push it with all my might, but it won't open.
Well, what does the sign say?
It says pull.
You take it.
Now I see the cause of your frustration. I see it all. You're trying to get back into your past, but you can't open the door to it. Now, do as I say, Groucho. Let's go back to your childhood.
Okay. I'll bank the eight ball in the side pocket.
No, no, I'm talking about another part of your childhood.
Okay, shoot the $20.
I'll take 10 of it. Wait, no. You see, Diamond, it's
ten
no
10 open
good.
Here. 10 open.
Oh, stop. Don't you understand, Dinah? His mind is all cluttered up with the wrong things.
Just a second, my well-rounded, eager freezer. How did you spend your childhood?
Me? I lived in a little romantic town,
really?
Groucho. Yes, on cold winter nights when the moon was shining, the girls and boys would go down to the pond and we'd ice skate.
So far, nobody's made a buck.
You could make fun if you wanted to, but it was really wonderful. After a while, we'd go off in couples to the side of the lake and see who could freeze their spinach first. As a matter of fact, the winner was entitled to be called Bird's Eye for the rest of the week.
Now, you see?
That's beautiful.
You see, Groucho, that's exactly what I mean. Can you think of any outstanding incident in your youth?
Yes. It happened one night while I was taking a walk with my sweetheart and her boyfriend. At that time, we lived in a tough neighborhood. Hill. Nobody ever dared go near it until that fateful night.
Hey, fellas. Come on, let's take a walk over to the haunted house, hey?
Oh, boy, that's a swell idea. Hey, maybe we can find a couple of ghosts, huh?
Wow!
Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could get my mother a sheet for her bed, huh? What do you say, huh, Marks? Huh, Marks, huh?
Personally, I'd rather get out to the drugstore and have a Coke.
A Coke? What fun is that? You can't get killed that way.
I can choke on a straw, can't I?
Oh, boy. Just listen to the wind whistle through that old haunted house.
There must be a sailor on the roof.
Don't be silly. What would a sailor be doing up there?
Why not? It's a tar roof. Some of those guys got shingles. I ain't going in that haunted house.
Now, wait a minute, Marks. You know we don't like sissies. Either you come on up with us or you'll get what you're looking for.
Since this was no place to get what I was looking for, we continued on our way up the hill. Then, in the eerie blackness of the night, I saw a white owl. Naturally, I picked it up and smoked it. It was the first time I'd ever smoked a cigar. And after two puffs, I realized I was a man. A sick man. Suddenly, there was a bolt of lightning.
Hey! Hey, Marks, where are you?
I'm over here, behind this tree.
Ed, what are you running away for? If lightning's gonna hit you, it's gonna hit you.
Well, if it's gonna hit me, at least let it look for me.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't kid me, Marks. You're scared to death.
I am not. I always wear my hair straight up.
Hey. Hey, listen to that dog growling.
Yeah. Look, Marks, you go up there and take care of him.
Take care of him? I've got three uncles now I'm taking care of.
Now, don't worry about the dog growling. It just means he's smiling.
Yeah, the last time somebody told me that, a dog smiled right through the seat of my pants.
Now, just a minute, Groucho. I thought you said you'd face death for me.
Yeah, but that dog isn't dead.
Now, listen to me, Marks. You know what I think of cowards. If you don't come along, I'll knock your ears off.
Since I didn't want my hat to fall down over my eyes, I continued with it. As we came to the door of the house, we sensed an odor of Limburger cheese. It had always been part of our neighborhood, but never as strong as this.
Stand back, everybody! I'm going to open that door.
Ooh, look at them big boxes in there. One on top of another.
I'll go in and open one of them. I'll prove to you that I'm not a coward.
My hero, what a man.
My friend, what a guy.
My goodness, what a smell. I was almost overpowered as I entered the old house. There was cheese to the left of me, cheese to the right of me. And there I stood, smell-bound.
Well, what happened after that? There must be one more thing.
Finally, when I got outside, I found out that my loyal friends were halfway back to town.
What did you do?
I ran after them so fast that I became overheated and caught a bad cold.
Now, that's it. That's the answer. The memory of that cold is so unpleasant that it gave you a germ complex.
That's wonderful, Dinah. I'm so glad you cleared it up for me. I feel like a new man. It's great to be rid of those awful germs. And Harry! Harry! What are you doing?
Brushing these germs off my suit.
Hey!
Dinah, look! Now Harry's got it!
Well, trying to stop brushing them on me!
Oh, Mr. Bacteria! Call it to the Bacteria!
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.